T-minus 1 minute and counting. Sound suppression system now armed. Hydrogen burn igniters also armed at this time. T-minus 50 seconds and counting. Solid rocket booster development flight instrumentation recorders going to record mode. T-minus 42 seconds and counting. T-minus 38 seconds. Orbiter computers positioning vent doors to launch configuration. Coming up on a go to take over control by the onboard computers. And we have a go for auto sequence start. T-minus 23 seconds and counting. Orbiter computers now in command of the countdown. T-minus 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. We have a go for main engine start. 6, 5. We have main engine start. 3, 2, 1, 0. We have solid rocket booster ignition and liftoff of Challenger and the 10th Space Shuttle flight. And the shuttle has cleared the tower.
Tower clear, roll pitch program.
Houston now controlling.
Roger,
roll. Maneuver. Roll maneuver confirmed.
15 seconds.
Good roll confirmed by mission control.
20 seconds.
25 seconds, preparing to throttle down.
25
seconds. To 75% on the main engines.
30 seconds, mark.
Velocity 700 feet per second. Throttling down to 73% confirmed as the vehicle prepares to pass through the maximum aerodynamic pressure. 52 seconds, velocity 1100 feet per second. Downrange distance 2 nautical miles, altitude 4.7. Preparing to re-throttle the engines back up to 100%. Three engines down to 100%.
Challenger Houston, your go at throttle up.
Roger, Houston.
Challenger and crew giving a go at throttle up. 1 minute 45 seconds, velocity 3400 feet per second. Altitude 17 nautical miles, downrange distance 17 nautical miles. Standing by for solid rocket booster separation.
PC less than 50.
Roger, PC.
Solid rocket booster separation confirmed. Guidance converging as programmed.
Challenger Houston, first stage performance nominal.
Roger, Houston.
Nominal first stage of ascent during the SRB performance. 2 minutes, 35 seconds, velocity 4,700 feet per second, downrange distance 48 nautical miles, altitude 33 nautical miles. Return status and mission control. All positions give a go. 3 minutes, 33 seconds, mission elapsed time. Altitude 44 nautical miles, downrange distance 101 nautical miles, velocity 6,200 feet per second. Standing by for press to abort to orbit call.
Challenger Houston, negative return, press to ATO.
Roger, negative return, press to ATO capability.
That call up from Capcom Guy Gardner indicates Challenger has passed beyond the point of being able to return to the launch site in the event of an abort. And the call up for the press TO at 109%. Should an abort to orbit become necessary, the vehicle would continue
Challenger
at 109%.
Houston, normal
throttles. Roger,
that call up, the abort to orbit could be achieved with normal throttles as opposed to the 109% throttles. 4 minutes, 42 seconds, velocity 8,200 feet per second, downrange distance 179 nautical miles.
Challenger Houston, press to MECO.
Challenger, roger.
Challenger given the call to press to main engine cutoff. 5 minutes, 20 seconds, altitude 55 nautical miles, downrange distance 237 nautical miles, velocity 10,000 feet per second. Three APUs running normally, three fuel cells running normally, all engines at 100%. Standing by for the single engine TAL call. 6 minutes, altitude 56 nautical miles.
Challenger Houston, single engine TAL capability.
Roger Houston, this is really a great ride.
Roger, copy.
Challenger Houston, we're negative reporting from here on out. You have a final West Star. Go for deploy.
Okay, we copy. Go for deploy. Everything looks good.
Deployment in a minute 30. We have some pre-arm and arm commands initiated by Ron McNair and Bob Stewart. Payloads officer verifies that PAM and payload are safe and armed. At 50 seconds from deployment, all the data continues to look good. Spin rate is stable. Currents, temperatures, voltage levels, all nominal. Dr. McNair now initiating the final command to the onboard computers. Deployment in 20 seconds. 15 seconds, data still looks good. 5 seconds to deployment. Payload's officer reports a good deploy from the data.
Westar is deployed. We'll be back with a report in a few minutes.
Copy that, and looks good to us.
Hey, Houston, Challenger.
Challenger, Houston.
Roger, Mary, tell all those Westar folks they really have a pretty bird heading out to be heading into geosynchronous orbit pretty soon. We have about 10 eyeballs and 5 noses all at the window looking.
Copy that.
Here in the Mission Control Center, there is an update on the Westar situation. The payloads officer reports that NORAD has been looking for the satellite, first based on two premises, that there had been no burn, and secondly, on the premise that there had been a full burn, and where that satellite would have been had either of those situations taken place, there was no satellite to be found. So NORAD is now looking at cases for partial burns. Right now, on the premise that it may have been a 10-second burn, and then they'll move that on up and check all the possibilities through the full duration burn, which nominally would have been 80 seconds. So at this point, we have no real new information to report on the whereabouts of Westar and what the situation is with the satellite itself. At mission elapsed time, 14 hours, 35 minutes. This is Mission Control, Houston.
The Palapa deploy, scheduled for later in the day, has been rescheduled. That delay is to allow the engineers who work on that payload assist module to review and see if they have any reasons for being less than fully confident when a similar piece of hardware used on the Palapa satellite would also be called into play. Final adjustments to the teleprinter messages going up to the crew. Some small replanning, moving up of some of the experiments that had been scheduled for tomorrow, moved up today, Tuesday, so that they would not be missed as we shift the Palapa deploy one day.
Oh, we got a great picture. Looks like it's a great place to go running.
Yeah, Bob, first Army officer in space, likes to do a lot of jogging and all that, so Bob is jogging on the treadmill. Ron McNair is going to take some movies of him. He has the Cinema 360 camera. Ron is, very professional in his job of movie making, and we call him Cecil B. McNair. Hey, Mary, as you may have noticed, we do have, with the Cinema 360 camera, we do have an extremely wide field of view. This camera can take anything within 180 degrees by 360 degrees. What we're trying to do is document the mid-deck activity as we see it experienced here in orbit. We're trying to document some of the food preparation, the running, and all of the activity that takes place during the course of a mission. This movie will be put together for a consortium of planetariums under the name of Cinema 360, and will be distributed to planetariums throughout the country. Anyway, we're very busy on the set today, as you can tell, and we have a lot of scenes left to film with the Cinema 360, both here in the mid-deck and in the payload bay. Okay, guys, ready on the set.
Challenger, Houston, if you could tell us the IRT status. We can't see it on the TV downlink.
Hey, John. It deployed, and it went out rotating with a very slight coning angle. It appears to me that it makes about one rotation every 11 or 12 seconds.
Right. Roger that. And what is its current inflation status, Vance?
That's what I'm holding off on. It does not look to me like it's inflated yet.
Roger, understand. Challenger, Houston, we just saw a large increase in radar signal strength. Can you tell whether or not the IRT inflated?
Negative, John. It is not inflated.
Roger, understand.
Houston, you're not going to believe this, but it's just now inflating, and the staves are coming off.
Roger, understand. Vance, that's really good news.
We'll tell you in a minute. We still don't know if it's fully inflating.
Roger, understand.
John, it looks like the balloon blew up. I'm tracking a very large piece of plastic. It's painted white on one side and dark olive drab to black on the other side.
Roger, understand. Bruce, we're standing by for y'all's reports.
John, some question in my mind whether we should do the initial SEP burn. It isn't equivalent to a jettisoned IRT configuration. It's not a blown up balloon. It's something in between. Matter of fact, we're not real sure the weight is still attached to the balloon itself.
Vance, we'd like to go ahead and do nominal SEP, and we will think about it more and talk with you more outbound.
Okay.
Mission Control Houston, Flight Director Randy Stone deciding to do the nominal separation burn of three feet per second.
John, what you just saw on the radar was a spontaneous brake lock. And reacquiring the GPC mode, over.
Roger. Thank you, Bruce, for the report. We currently do not have data.
It was about 19,500 feet or 19,600 feet when it broke lock. It locked back up all by itself again at about 19.8, and currently we're out to 20,700.
Roger, and Bruce, we're going LOS here in 40 seconds from Yargity. We'll see you guys at Hawaii at 00 plus 05. And here on the ground, people have worked up some numbers for you. We think you're going to lose it entirely at 26,000 feet.
We'll be watching it closely, John.
Roger that.
We are getting data through Teeters. We'll have voice shortly. Guidance reports that the rendezvous radar has a good lock now on the target at 47,000 feet. And he reports that with some degree of surprise.
Challenger, Houston's with you with UHF at Goldstone. We would, just for your information, our overall plan here, and although it could change, of course, through this Teeters pass, we would like you to leave the radar in the radar mode until it stops acquiring in an entire search pattern, and we will watch that for you. And when that occurs, we'll let you know.
Okay.
Hey, John, as you can probably see, we're locked on again, good and solid with the radar at a range of 51,000 feet now. It's been hanging in there for about a minute or so.
Roger, copy, Bruce.
John, we're about 12 minutes from F1. We could barely make it if you wanted to, but I understand you're probably concerned about other pieces that came off.
Roger, Vance, understand, and just again to clarify it, we have terminated the rendezvous and we just want to continue to separate, but we're interested in getting what kind of tracking data we can get here, including the star tracker.
Okay, Houston, Challenger, we have star tracker locked on the balloon.
Roger, understand. Sounds good, Vance. Challenger, Houston is with you at Hawaii for 8 minutes. Roger, and be advised, you're coming through a little broken. And we'd like to tell you that the entire team down here would like to thank you for all the good data you're collecting and letting you know that the radar, COES, and Star Tracker sensor data will be a big help for future rendezvous planning. The preliminary close-in nav data shows the nav is doing what it is supposed to do.
Okay, glad to hear it, John. And get some more longer range Star Tracker data for you, too.
Roger that.
Crew has acquired the IRT with the Star Trackers at a range of about 55 nautical miles. And after this sunset in space there, they will then cease the rendezvous activities and disable the rendezvous radar.
Challenger, Houston, Palapa is go for deploy.
Roger, Jerry. Everything's looking real good to us up here.
Copy that, and that's affirmed down here as well.
Mission Control, 3 days, 2 hours, 9 minutes, mission elapsed time. Approaching the beginning of terminal sequence start at 3 minutes before deploy. Everything continues to look good as leading up to the deployment in 2.5 minutes. In Jakarta, Indonesia, reporting receiving data from the Palapa spacecraft as it is in the cargo bay of the shuttle. Vehicle pre-arm reported, my payloads officer. Deploy arm. And deploy fire.
Challenger, Houston, stand by for a deploy report.
Okay, Jerry, the deploy was absolutely nominal, on time. Current attitudes are low, 54.49. Pitch 187.30, yaw 293.17, the rates roll -.001, pitch 0, yaw 0.
Copy that, can't ask for any better. Thank you, Bob.
Any word from our ex-passenger there?
Everything looks good to us so far, Bob.
Final messages being prepared for the crew before they're put to bed for the night. Flight controllers here reviewing those remaining items that they have to get all the systems squared away to allow the crew to get a full night's rest before the EVA activities in the morning. We have a statement here regarding the Palapa satellite. Hughes tracking personnel have confirmed that the Palapa satellite cannot be found in its expected orbit. We have about 37 minutes remaining in this tedious pass, although the final verbal contacts with the crew are expected only shortly, and they will be put to bed for the night. Challenger on orbit number 54, approaching the western coast of South America. We're 3 days, 8 hours, and 31 minutes into this flight. This is Mission Control, Houston.
Good morning, Challenger. Houston is with you.
Morning, John. How do you hear?
Roger, you're loud and clear.
We just read the teleprinter, the news, and that blows our minds.
Roger, understand. Certainly, as you know, Vance, everything that the spaceship did and all the procedures that you did were absolutely correct, and they were done flawlessly, and it blew our minds, too, and we're having, as you can understand, a lot of engineering assessments still going on.
Yeah, we could understand.
Okay, here comes the other hatch open and still.
Okay, we're looking for you.
is going to work. I need a little more room, Bob. Okay, it's open and stowed. Looks nice out there.
Bruce McCandless should be completing the MMU donning and checkout procedure as outlined in his activity plan. That essentially is verifying that tethers are clear and backing into the MMU so that the MMU and PLSS latches engage with the MMU constraint, pulling down the rings, which have the effect of freeing those latches, just to verify that it's possible to secure and release from that system. He would then attach a lap belt, configure valves and power systems, lights and levers on the MMU, remove and stow the safety tether, put the arms in the flight position, and make some thruster firing tests with a variety of power on and off configurations.
Challenger, Houston, with you at Hawaii for 8 minutes.
Roger, Jerry, how are you reading?
Roger, Bruce, loud and clear.
Well, that may have been one small step for Neil, but it's a heck of a big leap for me.
Roger, copy that, Bruce.
Okay, Bruce, we see you airport.
Well, you can feel the thrusters banging a little bit here.
We could feel them when you were checking it out in the SSS, Bruce.
Really? Oh, it's neat.
You look real stable out there.
McCandless has maneuvered the MMU to a position where he's looking right into the windows into the aft crew station and the flight deck.
Okay, you checked out good. Just for the record, I don't see any stars out here. Must be sunrise coming up.
Have a lot of envious people watching you. Looks like you're having a lot of fun up there.
Yeah, it's working very nicely.
McCandless and his manned maneuvering unit constitute a separate spacecraft of their own now.
Well, you may get the name of the world's fastest human being going along there at 4 miles a second, Bruce. Looks like it's real solid on stability.
Oh, it really is. There's Bob down there working on the MFR, getting it ready to go. Maybe I don't want the windows washed or anything while I'm up there.
Yeah. We want you to get out and back before sunset, though.
Sure.
Yeah, while you're here, we'll just read the pressures ourselves, Bruce.
Here you go. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is really beautiful out here. We're getting a nice sun angle and everything. What do you got for an opening rate on me, about a quarter of a foot per second?
We'll have to wait a little while till we get a good angle on you there, Bruce. We're estimating somewhere around 3/10.
Oh, this is superb. I got a real good look at the main engines now.
204 feet.
I think this thing was sitting on the launch pad just a few days ago.
Yeah, it's a marvelous machine. 297.
A couple more feet to make it an official 300. Come on back in. Oh, this is great.
305, 306. Might as well come back.
305, 306. That was an awful quick 10 feet, but... It's...
McCandless is at the full distance, a little over 300 feet from the Challenger.
Yeah, by 306. Okay, come on back in. Ding, ding, overhead standard.
274, Bruce.
Okay.
268.
McCandless returning to the Challenger.
Yeah, it's time for me to go work on the T-pad, is it not?
McCandless will be attempting shortly to attach the T-pad, trunnion pin attachment device. It is one of the major EVA tools used to help the astronaut in the MMU attach himself to a trunnion pin, for example, on a disabled satellite, to be able to work on it. Astronaut Bob Stewart preparing the manipulator foot restraint, the space-age cherry-picker type device, which will be used on the end of the mechanical arm, provide a work platform for astronauts to work on space construction or to attend to satellites.
Bob, when you're ready, I'll go ahead and rotate so you can get in.
Stand by, Ron.
Astronaut Ron McNair preparing to maneuver the remote manipulator system so that Bob Stewart can get into the manipulator foot restraint.
Okay, towards the center line.
Hold it right there.
Okay, Bob, do I need to translate towards the nose or do you have enough room to get in there?
I think there's enough room. Better try. Okay.
Okay, Bruce and Bob, we're ready to go ahead and recapture.
Yeah, I'll get out of the way, my first, Derek, go to the,
And we need to get you back to the, MMU then.
Okay.
Go
enjoy it. Have a ball. Oh, look at the sunrise. Look at the sunrise.
Astronaut Bruce McCandless will be working with the main electronics box. That's the simulated box of electronics similar to that found on the Solar Maximum satellite. This will be their opportunity to practice actually making the repairs that would be made on the Solar Maximum satellite on the next shuttle flight.
Okay, Dr. McNair, Geronimo.
Head on over to the MEB.
Okay.
I'll get you over there and take your command once we're there.
Yeah, okay.
McCandless on the end of the arm here.
Just remember one thing. One false move and blah.
Remember one thing. You're on the end of the arm. Be careful.
Challenger Houston, it sounds like it's Ron's turn to get even.
Oh, this is beautiful. It really is.
Okay, we stopped.
Yeah, let me rearrange the furniture here a second.
Now we see Bob Stewart preparing his manned maneuvering unit for its flight, and there he goes with the release.
Here, Vance, I'm heading out.
Okay.
Stewart moving away now from the orbiter. They will use the Ku band antenna for the tracking.
Okay, we have you at 57 feet, Bob.
Hey.
Be sure and smile some, Bob. Okay, you're
123
feet. Okay, Bob, we have you 180 feet now, opening at 0.6. We didn't have data for a while.
Someone increase the opening rate.
Let's go out to 300, then come back. If you wish.
Okay.
Hey, Bob, we have you at 1 foot per second on the radar. You better pulse a few this way. 225 feet. Bob, you
here? Yeah, I got you, Vance. Slowing down.
Stewart about to reach the limit of his range.
not here yet. I've got time to look around.
Billy Magnificent. That's where the Cinema 360 camera ought to be, is out there.
288 feet, 0.55. 303 feet, 0.65. Why don't you turn around and come on back?
Hey, what's my velocity?
Bob, you're 250 feet, closing at 0.55. And Houston, we have the radar working good now.
Roger, Vance, copy that. Thank you.
We're looking good out there, Bob. You're about 150 feet now, closing at 0.65.
Okay.
Hey, the radar broke lock around 70 feet, so we'll just eyeball you in from here, I guess, or you'll eyeball us in. Just like coming down the helicopter, huh?
Not quite.
A Mach 25 helicopter.
He's a little bit different.
Astronaut Bruce McCandless, working at the manipulator foot restraint, was asked to continue and complete his activities with that while Stewart performs some of the additional checkouts of the MMU in the area of the cargo bay and then attempts to don the T-pad, the trunnion pin attachment device, and put that on the front of the MMU in preparations for his evaluation of that piece of equipment.
Okay, Bruce, I'll take your command. Okay, I need to go a lap some more and pull it a bunch.
Going laps, going forward.
It's a really useful tool for working, though. It seems to be nice and stable. Okay, back there, Rob. I need to go up in my coordinate system.
Okay, going up.
Crew is a little over 4 hours into their scheduled EVA and will begin wrapping it up fairly soon. The flight surgeon here in Mission Control indicates both crewmen doing well, holding up very well to this EVA.
Challenger Houston for Vance.
Go ahead.
Roger, Vance, we see approaching termination of the EVA. We would like Bob to proceed with a normal stowing of the T-pad and the MMU, preparing for closeout and entry into the airlock. We would like Bruce to do one set of force measurements off of the MFR and then for him to close out the MFR and prepare for closeout of the bay.
Okay.
Hey, Ron.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Why don't you take me over to the MEB force? Take me to one of these force evaluation locations. Your call.
Okay, that's the same place we just left. Take you back over there.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, here we go.
And, where I input the force on this thing?
Hey, Bruce, I'll take your command. You can zero me in. Okay, what's going to be your first motion, Bruce?
That is, I'm going to pull the arm down into the in the plus C direction.
Okay, Bruce, we're going to look at the shoulder pitch chart, and we're going to tell you if we see a 0.2 degree slip.
0.2.
You tell us if you feel the arm slip, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we have you in position hold, so go ahead and put your voice in.
Expecting 23 pounds.
We're expecting around 23 pounds before it slips. Okay, go with it.
Okay, very slowly. There's 20, 5, 30, 35, 30.
Stop, that's it. Okay, Bruce, give us a wire for right now. And let me know when you're ready.
I think I'm ready. So here we go on Y. 10, 15, 20, 25. I can feel it go at 25.
Okay, if you felt it, that's good enough.
Yeah, I felt it go. Scrunch, scrunch, scrunch.
So you're ready to We're ready. We'll get you out of there.
Okay, take me up to the sea zone. Let's unload this truck.
Okay, and we're going to roll the Cinema 360.
Crew is concluding their EVA. Still outside at the moment, but they're about to get back in the airlock very shortly. They have been on the EMUs for 5 hours and 40 minutes. During that long shuttle spacewalk, we had some considerable list of the items planned, accomplished, including the first checkout of the manned maneuvering units, in which the astronauts in their spacesuits with the MMUs attached moved away at distances of greater than 300 feet from the orbiter, in effect becoming individual spacecraft of their own. The first time that a spacewalk has ever been accomplished without the crewman being attached by a lifeline or a tether of some kind to the parent spacecraft. Much of the work done here today leads up to the servicing operation and repair of the Solar Maximum satellite on the next space shuttle mission in April, in which the shuttle will rendezvous with a malfunctioning scientific satellite that has been in orbit since 1980, make some repairs to an electronics box so that the satellite can control its attitude and perform its mission properly.
Okay, it's closed. 1 second. Okay, airlock depress valve is closed.
Okay. IV set com to TGT. Inner hatch equalization valve, one of them, open to normal, please.
Okay.
Challenger, Houston with you at Hawaii for another 6.5.
Okay, Jay, we got the hatch clear. We're just repassing the airlock now.
Okay, good show. And all of us on the ground want to send our congratulations for a super job today. We certainly enjoyed watching you and only wish we could have joined you.
Well, Roger, it was a real thrill, a real honor to be up there.
We talked it over on board and we decided that in order to share all the good deals, Vance and I get to go outside tomorrow.
That sounds fair to me, Hoot. And for your information, you guys have got some company up there this morning. The Soviets launched at 6:08 a.m. They're going up to rendezvous with the Salyut. And for your information, that makes an all-time record having 8 folks in space at one time.
Oh, how about that?
Oh, great. It's really getting to be populated up there. And, Jerry Rod says he's going to fight all of us to go outside tomorrow. And I think he's tougher than any of us, so we may have to listen to it.
Roger, I don't think I'd want to have to argue with him.
Fortunately, my suit's too small for any of them, so I'm not worried.
Houston, Challenger.
Roger, Vance, we're go for EVA.
Hatch is coming open. Man, looks like another sunny day up here. Oh, hey, can you guys see out the window? One of our operational slideware brackets has come unpinned.
Roger, Bruce, we can see it on the ground too. Is a pip in there?
Pip in is there, and I will reinstall it, but it's still a little startling.
We agree with that.
And Bob, we see you getting into the prep unstall the T-pad assembly.
So, Vance, we're making a slight detour. I'm going to get Bruce the hammer.
Okay.
That articulating arm positions the slide wire, and the slide wire is secure, not loose, and that doesn't translate it into any safety problem for the EVA astronauts, but why Bruce McCandless referred to it as startling was because that could have caused a problem with closing the payload bay doors.
The hammer, the only thing you're going to need, Bruce?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, this is nice not to be running so hard today.
at and see the world.
Yeah, that's one of them, man.
Got it?
Got one of them. Two of them. Making progress, sports fans.
Hard work.
This is just one maintenance task after another here on EVA. Really getting to show how you can fix things, you and Bob.
Yeah.
The thrusters seem to be working great.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we can feel them when I saw them.
Hey, prime mode checks out.
Okay, back up A, then B, then satellite stabilization.
Hey, I can see cities passing by out there.
Back on.
You see, the cities are very, very close constellations. That is really pretty. That is really neat.
That looks real smooth, Bruce.
It is. Hey, I can see stars out here.
Turn around, look at the towns.
Guess I gotta get down to work and do the docking stuff.
You know there's no air out here when you see a little tiny ice crystal, like shaped like a rod, come by spinning at about 90 RPM and not slowing down. Learning curve on translations is quite steep here. It's a lot easier to translate today.
Okay, that's one on the CESA. Here we go. I'll make this one a hard docking.
Okay.
And Vance, I'm going to store the battery bag back in the airlock.
Okay, Bob, and after that, we're just waiting for Bruce to get back and service GN2 and his MMU so that you can jump into it.
Well, I hope so. He promised me I could fly.
Did you get that in blood? Hadn't you heard about avoiding verbal orders?
Like, I don't care, Bruce. I got one down here myself, I'll guess. There's the
other. McCandless backing into the flight support station with his maneuvering unit, and will shortly grasp the rings, which are located on the arms of the MMU, after he's tethered himself here, of course. And those pull rings release the latches that secure the life support system on his back to the man maneuvering unit.
Okay, Vance, I did a docking that time with what I would estimate to be about a 15 degree, or 10 degree at least, offset. And it grabbed and did fine. The primary T-pad seems to work a lot smoother with a lot less force required than the secondary. It may be just because of the mass of the system moving in. I'm going to make this one a hard dock.
You look like you feel right at home in that thing, Bob.
I do, man. It's really easy to fly. It's really a nice little machine. I just wish it had a little bit more gas on it. It's kind of like a T-38, you know. It's a great little machine, but it sure does need longer legs.
Commander Vance Brand reporting the crew is about back on the normal EVA timeline, and fairly shortly they'll be moving on with the hydrazine transfer device simulation. That will be using a special tool intended for future satellite servicing to transfer hydrazine into satellites which have depleted their supply, which is used for attitude control. This test will be done using Freon with a dye in it.
Hey guys, there goes a foot restraint into orbit. There it goes.
Well,
we can go get it.
Hey,
Houston
sure.
Challenger.
Go ahead, Challenger.
Houston Challenger. We lost a foot restraint. It's starting to float out. We can go get it if you wish. The orbiter.
Yeah, why don't you?
Roger, we see it. How much gas does Bob have?
No, the orbiter.
Okay, your call.
Have the orbiter go get it.
Stand by.
I'm going to go get it.
Vance, you want me to go get it, or you want to...
No, he's going to do a rescue scenario.
Put them where I hang where I am, son, if you can't get it.
What? got loads of RCS on board. Give me a hand coming by you. Bob, give me a hand. I'm at the end of my tether, Vance. You're going to have to put in some minus X.
I'm not completely out of the Indian view yet, but I can come get it.
No, just put in a little more minus X, Vance.
Astronaut Bruce McCandless along the starboard slide wire, moving back to pick up the free-floating foot restraint.
Got him. Beautiful job, sir.
At least it won't be re-entering in a few days.
I hope it'll be re-entering in a few days. The rest of us are planning to.
Jerry, Challenger.
Go ahead, Vance.
Okay, we thought it might get away from us, and so we went and got it, as you noticed. And I guess the procedure works okay to go get it. To go get things that get lost, which we happen to have in our procedures.
Roger that, Vance. We verified a procedure we didn't expect to use, and you got some FroxOps operations in that we missed earlier. It looks super. You got a big round of applause down here.
That's what we brought him along for.
Crew of the Challenger with a little demonstration in rescuing free-floating objects.
Challenger, Houston, Vance, you can go ahead and turn your flight controller power back off. Be advised, use 150 pounds of prop. And the EVA folks say, Bravo, Zulu.
Okay, good.
Well, we deliver may have been the SGS-5 crew model, but we pick up also.
McCandless working at the special equipment stowage assembly in which the hydrazine experiment is stored.
Why don't we press on to step two and get some flying in.
Hydrazine transfer stuff has gone very smoothly up until installing the multi-purpose tool. And at this point, I cannot get the quick disconnect seated. I've got now the foot restraints, put as much force on it as I can. And if something down there, just won't let that little foot disconnect push into the slot.
Okay, we copy that, Bob. We got a set of tools here. We'll start looking at it right away. We copy all that. We're looking at it here on the ground. We don't know what else to recommend right now, Bob. We'll think about it and talk to you a bit further. We'll go back and scratch our heads again.
Yeah, this line will retain the pressure itself on it. Get that quick disconnect just to lead it to the pressure gauge.
Stand by, Ron.
If I open the valve, the wire should stay pressurized itself. I just won't be able to read it. But you check it when I get it back to Houston.
Okay, Bob, we had a short drop there. We have no further ideas on how to troubleshoot your problem there. We think that the QD will hold the Freon. You are goal to open the valve.
Okay, gonna do that. This is strictly a test piece of test apparatus that's the problem. Nothing to do with the refueling tools. I'm opening the valve, but disconnect is holding.
Roger, copy that, and we concur with your evaluation. Sounds like it all went very smoothly.
It went smoother than it ever has on the ground, Jerry, for reasons that I will debrief on the tape tonight.
Challenger Houston, the President of the United States.
Commander Brand, I'd like to say a good morning to you and your crew. I'm talking to you from California. I don't know exactly where you are. I know you're up there someplace. But you're all doing a fine job on this historic mission. And I'd like to say hello to Bruce McCandless and Bob Stewart, who are sending us this spectacular television coverage of man's historic walk in space. Let me ask you, what's it like to work out there unattached to the shuttle and maneuvering freely in space?
Well, we've had a great deal of training, sir, so it feels quite comfortable. The view is simply spectacular and panoramic, and we believe that maneuvering units, first time working unattached, we're literally opening a new frontier in what man can do in space, and we'll be paving the way for many important operations on the coming space station, sir.
Well, that is just great. You've really opened a new era for the world in space with this mission. You've shown both our commercial partners and our foreign partners who play an important role in this and other missions to come that man does have the tools to work effectively in space. I understand you had an opportunity this morning, an unexpected or unscheduled thing, maneuvering the shuttle and making a recovery of an object in space. Commander?
Yes, sir.
What do you and Boot Gibson and Ron McNair do while Bruce and Bob are working outside?
Well, we're pretty busy in here just keeping track of them. They have a lot of tests to go through, and of course it is the first check out on something that's rather futuristic, the backpack, the man maneuvering unit. So we're just monitoring them, making sure that we don't lose sight of them.
That's good. Say, Hoot, I understand you must have a special interest in making sure everything's working right up there, since your wife will be making the trip on board the shuttle this summer. Do you have any tips to pass along to her?
That's true, Mr. President. She is. She's going up about in August, and that's why, as you say, I've been trying to check everything out and make sure it's going to work well when she goes. The thought of myself going up doesn't bother me, but I think I'll be nervous when she goes.
I can understand that. Do you think she'll enjoy it?
I know she'll enjoy it.
Well, now, could I ask, how are the experiments on board the shuttle working out? I understand that you have one dealing with arthritis and other experiments on board that may lead to advances in manufacturing and various kinds of material processing.
Sir, Mr. President, the experiments are working out very well. We're very pleased with the results we're seeing, and there's a lot of promise being demonstrated in all the areas you just mentioned, and we look forward to getting them back on the ground, analyze, and make some good use of these results.
Well, let me again congratulate all of you on board the Space Shuttle Challenger. You're doing a fine job. Your commitment and courage on this historic flight, I think, are an inspiration to all of us. And I know that you have things to do and much more important than getting a telephone call from Earth. So let me just say to you, have a safe journey home, and God bless you all.
Thank you very much for calling, sir. We really appreciate that.
That's my pleasure. All right.
I'm proud to be a part of this mission.
All right. Goodbye.
Challenger, Houston, considering the time, we'd like you to go ahead and start closing down shop.
Roger, Houston. Bob is in the airlock, and Bruce is just coming in.
Challenger, Houston is with you at Mala.
Roger, Houston, and we're passing Mach 11. Doing great. Beautiful show.
Roger that, and be advised, the current Cape weather is clear and 30 miles visibility.
Super. Hey, thank John for getting us that kind of weather. John Young.
Roger that.
Now below Mach 10, Mach 9.7. Sink rate 170 feet per second. Challenger about 500 miles from Kennedy Space Center, crossing the Gulf now, approximately 140 miles south of Mobile, Alabama.
Houston, tech-ins look good from our side.
Roger, we're looking at the data. Stand by one, Vance.
Roger.
Tech-ins, tactical aid to navigation. Sink rate of 200 feet per second. Mach 6.3.
Challenger Houston, we're not locked up on the track. Your call on the TACANs.
Okay, we'll take them.
Altitude 133,000 feet. Velocity Mach 5.9. Spaceship now approximately 50 miles on the coast of Florida. Traveling at Mach 5.4. Sink rate of 316 feet per second.
Challenger Houston, transfer state vector to backup, your convenience.
Okay, thank you. We'll do that.
Altitude 110,000 feet, velocity Mach 4.3.
Challenger Houston, energy, ground track, and nav are go.
Excellent, John. Thank you.
Vehicle in the automatic flight mode still. Mach 4 velocity. Altitude 103,000 feet. Range 74 miles from the runway.
Challenger Houston, take air data.
Roger, take air data.
Altitude 87,000 feet, sink rate of 270 feet per second. Range 63 miles. Challenger now just east of Orlando at a range of 52 miles from the shuttle landing facility. Velocity Mach 1.2, altitude 56,000 feet, range 29 miles.
Challenger Houston, energy and nav look good.
Roger, John. Looking good here.
Flight dynamics officer reports the energy level in the orbiter is perfect. Velocity is now subsonic at Mach 0.9. 25 miles from the runway, altitude 47,000 feet. There's the final turn into the hack. Pitch and roll functions now in manual control. Vance Brand now flying the ship.
Chase is starboard on your left.
Roger, Chase.
Airspeed 256 knots. Speed brakes deployed. Altitude 30,000 feet, range 16 miles to the end of the runway, sink rate about to 250 feet per second. The hydraulic landing gear valves are open. APU performance still nominal. All APUs running at roughly 106% or 106% speed. This photo from the chase plane, T-38, piloted by Charles Justice of Houston Aircraft Operations. Sink rate now less than 200 feet per second. Flight control in the automatic mode. 11 miles range, 10 miles from the end of the runway. Airspeed 256 knots. Altitude 17,000 feet. Pulling 1.5 Gs on the heading alignment cone. Performing a left turn into the runway.
On the ground, see
it. Altitude 12,000 feet. 7 miles from the
Challenger Houston,
runway.
Look good rolling out on final, calm surface winds.
Airspeed.
Roger.
184 knots. 284 knots. Challenger now visible at Kennedy Space Center. 6,000 feet altitude, 4 miles range. Sink rate 170 feet per second. Velocity 284 knots. Energy levels still nominal. Altitude 1,000 feet. 1 mile from the end of the runway. Gear down and touchdown. Space shuttle's first Florida landing. Nose gear down. Touchdown at 190 knots. Flight control reports steady braking and wheel stop unofficially mission elapsed time of 7 days, 23 hours, 17 minutes.
Okay, Houston, wheels are stopped.
Roger that, Challenger. Welcome home. Fantastic job.